Well, our connection this hour was made several years ago when San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick began kneeling during the national anthem before games. He, of course, was protesting American inequality and, in particular, the toll on black Americans who have been mistreated since the country's founding. On the popular sports platform Barstool Sports, Barstool founder Dave Portnoy hosted a discussion with two Barstool contributors about what this was all about. And Portnoy prefaced his comments by admitting he was about to say something racist. And then he most certainly said many racist things. He said that he didn't know Kaepernick was black, but thought he was probably Arabic because of his beard, and his conclusion was that Kaepernick was probably just all ISIS, or maybe engaging in terrorist theology. As the New York Times has described him, Dave Portnoy has become a disruptive force in sports media and, it's fair to say, American culture. Barstool is estimated to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Portnoy has popularized the slogan, "Saturdays are for the boys," even inspiring some Barstool fans to get married on Fridays so as not to disrupt their Saturday bro routine. Barstool's personalities argue there shouldn't be women in the sports broadcast booth because, as they see it, let's be honest, no one wants to listen to women talk about sports. One of the top articles on the site just yesterday was a ranking of porn stars. Barstool and Portnoy had become powerful enough to convince ESPN to partner with them in 2017. ESPN canceled that partnership quickly when employees complained about Barstool's persistent misogyny, among other offenses. Barstool argues that ESPN and sports media in general is too politically correct. They're just saying what most fans are thinking. The subtext, of course, is that they're just saying what white male fans might be thinking. This week, Sports Illustrated's Cleveland Browns writer Pete Smith argued that it's time for professional athletes, and perhaps for fans, to hold Barstool and Portnoy accountable. Smith points out that prominent athletes like Baker Mayfield have posted in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, yet they continue to go on Barstool podcasts or even have their merchandise hawked on Barstool's platforms. Smith writes, quote, "While the Cleveland Browns and their players are saying so many of the right things and engaging in important actions for the sake of racial equality and societal and social justice, it's hypocritical to simultaneously have a relationship with a company like Barstool, which has an awful history with racism. It's difficult to imagine a country where racism is dead when the people who say they won't accept it align themselves with companies that profit from it. And it's difficult to fathom listening to that clip describing Kaepernick as a terrorist and then try to rationalize engaging in a relationship with the company that produced it," end quote. For his part, Portnoy says he can't be canceled. He boasted this week he's too powerful, too influential, and he attacked his critics as whiners who want to remove fun and humor from all media. Smith says this is not about cancellation, but accountability for racism, for misogyny, for the corrosion of culture. Let's talk about it. Pete Smith is the editor of Sports Illustrated's Browns Digest. Pete, welcome to the program. I've been a reader for a long time. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Brittany Mollis is back with us, a freelance writer and a co-host of the all-female sports podcast, That's What B Said. Brittany, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And Chris Thompson's an engineer, writer, comedian, and activist, and has marginally useful opinions about sports, from what I've heard. Is that fair enough?
That is very fair.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's nice to have you back here, Chris Thompson. Thank you very much. Let's listen to exactly what Dave Portnoy said about Colin Kaepernick a few years ago.
Colin Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem has become a huge story. So I'm going to say something that's racist. But I don't think it's racist. I don't think if you think something and don't say or act upon it, you can be called a racist.
But you're going to say it.
When I heard this story, I didn't read it. I didn't know why he was saying there. I was like, oh, he's an ISIS guy. Like, that was my original thought. Because he kind of looks like...
He is very confusing. He is very confusing. I will give you that.
You thought he was not standing for the national anthem because he wanted to, like, kill all Americans?
No, I thought he maybe had some terrorist Arabic...
Oh, you know, all right, listen.
Maybe it was like on Palestine's side or something.
That's dumb, but he is first team all racial confusion. I don't know what's going on there.
He has the beard.
It's not crazy.
He's got a Jufro.
He's got a terrorist beard, terrorist skin.
Yeah. It's confusing.
So I didn't give much thought of it. I was like, why wouldn't he stand? He thinks black people, which I guess... He's black?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I thought he was Arabic. So when I think an Arab person is not standing for the national anthem, I go terrorist right away. This can't be held against me. It's just how my brain works. You can't say someone's, I don't think, I would never do anything, but that's how my brain works. I'm just being honest.
So for those of you hearing Portnoy for the first time, it is actually that dumb and aggressively racist and misogynist quite often. But let me start with Chris Thompson. I want to ask all three of you about this. I think Barstool is popular not in spite of stuff like this, but because of it. I think that's what it is. Chris, what do you make of that?
I think you're right. Like, that's, he says outrageous things. He says things that he knows is going to rile up people, that gets him his publicity, and then he continues to say it. Like, he just, like, leaned into a whole bunch of ignorant racist stereotypes about, like, two different groups of people, and, like, that was, what, like, 3-4 years ago, mm-hmm. and we're talking about it now. So, yeah, I do think that he's saying a lot of the stuff just, you know, just for the publicity to get more people to go to Barstool and, like, rage at him, but that attention also gets him revenue.
Okay. Brittany Mullis, what do you think?
The fact that he said something about, well, I'm not going to limit myself from being humorous, or I think there's something wrong with people who hear something like that and think that it's funny in any way. So, and they want to go back to, oh, well, this country has become so politically correct and that's what's ruining this country. No, what's ruining this country is this mentality that you could just say whatever you want and be as offensive as you want, and people just rally around you. And I think this is just a symptom, you know, Barstool and all the Stoolies, I think their names are.
Yep.
You know, it's just a symptom of a very big problem that we have in this country right now. And, you know, like Pete's article mentioned, it's time to distance yourselves from them.
So, Pete Smith, before I ask you about this, I want to play Portnoy's response to articles like yours and some of the criticism that's emerged from people like Jemele Hill this week. And he said he knew they were going to dig up clips like that. He knew it. So he called one of his, quote, emergency press conferences and defended himself and basically said he jokes about all races. He jokes about all cultures, and people on the modern left can't take a joke. Let's listen.
There isn't one person I've ever worked with who has worked for me, we've done business with, interacted with, who will ever back up anything these haters say. Not one. I've worked with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Instead, they just throw rocks, darts from behind bushes, and then when I turn around like, you want to talk about it? Because I can explain my thought process and defend myself. They never do. Nope. They just want to run and hide. Throw darts, run and hide. Well, there's really important issues going on in the world right now. Concentrating on trying to cancel a comedy site who's been doing it for 2 decades and has a mountain of evidence to support that they're just trying to be funny is not the best use of time. And not only that, I hate to break it to you guys, but whenever you try to cancel us and do these movements that pop up once every couple of years, it only makes us stronger, because normal people want an escape for a couple seconds from this up world. And that's all we're trying to do. And it just makes them like us more.
So, Pete, I have to say, when I read your piece, I didn't hear you calling for a cancellation of Barstool, or even for all athletes to do one thing or another. I mean, Michael Jordan famously said, when asked why he didn't wade into social or political issues, quote, Republicans buy shoes too. It was a business decision for him. Whereas LeBron James views it his responsibility to address inequality and use a platform to bring positive change, which is, of course, one reason why LeBron is the GOAT, and I'm not going to argue about this because that is a fact. And come at me, anybody. But, Pete, I'm not hearing you say Barstool or Portnoy should be canceled or all athletes must do X, Y, Z. I read your piece as saying, if you're going to stand up as an athlete, like Baker Mayfield did, and say Black Lives Matter, and I'm in solidarity with this movement, and then you're going to hang with Portnoy, it's going to look inconsistent and your social commentary looks hollow. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the idea of cancel culture is a myth. I mean, it's the only people who mention this are the people who are worried or trying to defend themselves against their behavior. Well, you're trying to cancel me. No, we're pointing out that you're doing something horribly wrong, and this isn't okay. And it's not okay because it's just vile. And what they said about Kaepernick goes so far beyond just being racist. I mean, the thing that sticks with me haunts me really is terrorist skin. And people can say, well, you know, and I'm sure they would. Well, we're not inciting anyone to do anything, but we have enough people in this country who are, you know, not that far from doing something that are going to hear this type of thing. And it only makes them think, well, I'll take care of this. He's a terrorist or whatever. But no, I mean, my issue is if we have come to the decision, and I would hope we are there, it's 2020 for God's sake, that racism is bad and we should eliminate it. It can't be as simple as going, well, we see George Floyd murdered on camera and go, well, that's wrong. That's easy. And that sounds crass and that sounds awful, but it's easy to point at a murder and say that's wrong. It's so much harder to put potentially your economic interests or your customer base at risk by saying, well, what Barstool is doing is wrong and we're not going to be a part of it because we're not going to enrich a racist who then has a platform to do things. He appears on Fox News. He appears on various other platforms. He's a virus denier. And to say that we're not being politically correct, that's fine, but he is political. He uses this to sort of influence people. So that's, to me, is a huge problem with what's going on. So for all the things, and Joe Thomas wrote that great piece for the Players Tribune and says, well, you have to call out racism for what it is, but he's associated with Barstool in the past. I hope he says, you know, he sees clips like this and goes, this is racism. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I hope Baker Mayfield goes, you know, he joined the thing with Julius Jones to save, potentially save this kid's life from death row. He writes a letter to Congress. These are all wonderful things, but it's hard to then say, well, I'm going to partner with something that enriches a racist and say, I'm on the right side. It's very difficult to see how that's going to get us to any meaningful change in this country.
Brittany, he's also Portnoy and Barstool, you know, famously not just the slogan Saturdays are for the boys, but famously has said, you know, well, people don't want women in broadcast booths. And just about every woman who has criticized Barstool becomes sexualized in terms of his criticism of them, his mockery of them. I mean, that has been persistent. And here you are with a very popular podcast yourself, you and your colleagues doing That's What B Said, but you're also in a sort of a sports media ecosystem where this is popular, this idea of mocking the idea that, well, women can talk about sports. Do you think there is a collective impact on American culture, on not just sports culture, but on culture, when that's not only out there, and again, I'm not saying opinions shouldn't be shared, but when it's popular, when it becomes a mega-million-dollar enterprise and people, not everybody, but people love it, is there a corrosive impact on the culture, Brittany?
Absolutely. I was, you know, we had a show last night and we were talking about this a little bit, just about, you know, being women in sports. And for some reason, yesterday specifically, there was like a large outcry to get women out of sports. And there were a lot of people complaining about how they don't like women's voices, calling things, and women have no place in there and blah, blah, blah. And in our discussion, I was like, imagine if the roles were reversed here and women were like, you know what? We don't want men around us in a professional setting doing this because they can't control themselves, because that's what it all comes down to. You know, someone was like, women should only cover women's sports and men should only cover men's sports because, you know, basically men can't control themselves. And number one, that's laughable. I've been around many men who are very respectful, and if you can't, that's a problem. That's a you problem, and maybe you shouldn't be around. We had a sports reporter on with us last night, a female sports reporter, and she said she's been in many locker rooms. She's done many interviews. Never once was there an issue with, you know, men trying to go after her or accusing her of anything. Like, it's just fine. But, yeah, like I said before, I think this is just a symptom of a very big problem that we have. People think that, you know, leadership, and I'm not calling, you know, Dave a leader by any means, but he does have a very loud voice and a very popular platform. And when he does things like this, I don't think people understand that there are a large portion of men who look up to this guy and they're like, well, you know, if he could do this, if he could treat people like this, if he could talk like this, then we can too. And then, you know, everyday people have to deal with this cult-like mentality that you could just talk to people however you want. You could treat people however you want because someone in power does it someone got very rich doing this. So, you know, this is, they're now like putting in, like, I don't know, this is the way that it has to be. And it's just, it's terrifying.
Well, and Chris Thompson, we've talked on this program in the past about the comedy aspect of work today. And here's Portnoy saying, because I know you work in comedy and have worked in comedy, Chris, and here's Portnoy saying, well, comedians aren't allowed to be funny anymore. You know, you just want to cancel us if we say anything you don't like. Well, I joke about everybody, so get used to it. What do you say to that, Chris Thompson?
Weak tea. That's such a weak response. Comedians aren't supposed to be offending everybody, and granted, not every comedy is for everyone, but targeting people specifically and making fun of them based on their race, on their sex, on their gender, just isn't funny anymore. Like, maybe it was funny back in the day, and it probably wasn't funny back in the day to the people who were being targeted. But, like, for him to say that and say that, you know, he's being stifled or whatever, or cancel culture is coming after him. No, he's just not funny. Like, you can be entirely funny without going straight after people. So, I'm sorry. That excuse, it's old and it's cliche and it's very tiresome. And it's like an indicator that like his brand of quote unquote comedy isn't really comedy. It's just bullying that people like his boys are laughing at.
No, I think right now what we've learned in the last, especially the last 4 years, is that bullying is profitable right now. It is profitable politically. It is profitable on the media scene. And that's going to be a hard thing to start to change and to deal with the effects of for a long time. And unfortunately, I see echoes of that here. Listeners who have sent me emails noting that I was a little irritated with the governor. I wasn't irritated with the governor. he just went, this was his longest news conference in 2 months, and he didn't say a whole lot that was new, but we're going to take it every time he does it. So I apologize if I seemed irritated. And because we're tight on time, I want to ask our guests to kind of just tell us, maybe take about a minute apiece and tell us what you think we ought to do with, and I think Pete's piece is a bit of a call for athletes to think about their own role in this, but let me ask all three of you about a minute apiece. What do you think fans and consumers of media and sports ought to do as well when we think about social movements and what our expectations should be? Pete Smith.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's if you're going to say you're trying to eliminate something awful in society, whether it's racism or misogyny, then you have to be consistent with it. You can't just take the easy things and start there. I think what Barstool has done is more nefarious than even what Brittany lays out, largely because they're taking something that already exists, which is, you know, fine, but they're intimidating women to not want to do this. And when you pound this over and over and over again, I know women who have said to me, I don't think I can do this. And it's because they're basically brainwashed into thinking they can't. And that's terrible. That's the worst thing ever. So however many people women are interested in trying to do something with sports, cut that number down by how many people are essentially intimidated out of even trying before we even get there. And how many people we've lost that would be great perspectives or great voices because of this type of behavior. So I hope that when people support this type of stuff, they think bigger impact. And what is my support actually doing? And what is my support actually enabling?
Brittany Mullis, what's the call for all of us, especially when we think about athletes and then our own consumption?
Yeah. So specifically to like everyday people, not athletes, but one thing that I try to reiterate over and over again is that you can't be an authority of someone else's experience. So whether it be women or, you know, black people, anything different than you, go out and talk to those people. Find out what their experiences are like. Have tough conversations. Ask questions. Like, the best thing that we can do, especially in a time like right now, is listen and try to understand. And don't try to be right. Don't try to argue. Just show a little empathy for once. I think, you know, that at the core, that's the most important thing that we can all do.
Are you optimistic 20 seconds that it's happening?
No. But I will not stop encouraging people to do it. You know what, though? I have had conversations with people. I've had people reach out to me and not like applaud, but say, you know, thank you for doing this. Like, I reached out to this person and this person. And like, that's how like real change happens. It's just talking to people and not arguing, not doing it in, you know, any kind of defensive way, just letting your guards down sure. and trying to understand where other people are coming from.
All right, Chris Thompson, what do you think?
I think I'm a little bit more optimistic. I do think that like empathy is starting to happen, but besides that, besides listening to everybody, or listening to different people, I also think that we should be putting our money where our mouths are. So like a place like Barstool, like a site like Barstool Sports, maybe don't click on their page as much. Like your pockets are probably, you know, money talks, and like using your pocket to as your voice does help. So not patronizing anybody who would support that or anybody who would sponsor this type of like rhetoric, I think that would help.
Well, listen, I wish we had more time, but we will have many more conversations along these subjects, and we'd love to come back with you since we were abbreviated today. Chris Thompson, I know I'll see you around Rochester, and I always appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brittany Mollis, who is the co-host of the sports podcast That's What B Said. You can find her there. Thanks for the time, Brittany.
Thanks for having me.
Pete Smith is the editor of Sports Illustrated's Browns Digest, and his piece got us thinking about this subject. We will post it on our platforms if you want to check it out. Pete, thanks for making the time.
Thank you. I'm grateful you reached out.
All right. Again, that's what we do with on the days when the governor's on, and we're going to keep carrying the governor, but we'll keep these conversations going, and we've got more connections coming up.